Peace of Christ be with you. Hey, let's give some love to Ivan and the band. Yes. You may be seated. We step into this week with these words on our lips. With these words on our lips, we speak. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Say it with me. Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is near. Which means it's close. Repentance means a turnaround, and a turnaround in life is never easy. It's just not. It means we got to change the way we think, change some patterns. And one of the best ways I know to do that is to enter into that kind of call, this invitation from Jesus, to do that in the context of relationship. It's just hard to repent alone. And repentance requires a particular kind of relationship that's safe. It's one of the things I love about Hope College, is that this is a safe place for have conversations that are often difficult. Not only among peers, but one of the things that's a great blessing is the relationships that happen between professors and students, between staff and students. And speaking as one of the staff, professor kinds of people on campus, it's what we learn from you often. Today we have the privilege of inviting two individuals who have that kind of relationship. Dr. Heidi Krause, who is the Associate Professor of Art History and the Director of the Dupree Art Gallery, and the beloved, the amazing, the superific, Carissa Sutherland Smith, who's a junior in the psychology. Would you please welcome them to campus today? Come on. Yes. They're going to share a little bit about their relationship and what they've learned from each other just a little. But before they speak, let me just pray. Eternal God, speak, for your servants are listening. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Good morning, Hope College.
Good morning.
I am an art historian. I have the awesome privilege of looking at images and thinking about how art has helped shape and is shaped by our collective society. I start by analyzing the formal qualities of art, that is, looking at the artist's use of light, of shape, space, form, color, composition, all of these things. Once I identify what I physically see, that is, physically see in front of me, I describe it in such detail that I could imagine it with my eyes shut. And I start to think, and I mean really think, about what it all might mean. While the formal qualities of an artwork are important, sure, for me, though, it's the story. For me, the importance of art lies in its ability to serve as a reflection of humanity. As humans, we crave story. There's no more fundamental understanding of any age of life than that which we find through story. Lullabies, nursery rhymes, stick figure drawings of our mom and dad we make as kids, all of our combined stories make up what we know about humanity, what all of humanity has ever known. This is what turns people into a family, into a campus, into a society, into a culture. This is how we know who we are. As a mother, I sometimes struggle with the messages my children reflect back to me. Maybe I was short with them. Maybe I didn't follow my own rules about wearing shoes in the house. Sometimes it's something worse. And when I see my sweet children do what I do and not what I say, I feel uncomfortable. That's how reflection can be for all of us, whether a family or a society. We don't want to see the worst in us, the times when we as a whole have not done what we as individual Christians know we should. And we're good at love, we Christians. We're good at being hopeful. But John 3:18 says, "Let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "Our lives begin to end the day that we become silent about the things that matter." As individuals, standing and speaking for what we value can be terrifying. So much so that we retreat from confrontation. We avoid making waves. But people of hope, this is not so with art. Those of us who cannot contain our need to make art, who are compelled to create as much as we are compelled to breathe in and out, we tell the story of that struggle. With words and hands, we build the accounting of our people in the hope. That is that innate light that guides all of us Christians, hope that these are the actions that will matter. That these stories will carry our flame of hope, of love of Christ. It's a simple thing when that which we create or see or read or hear is relatively universally enjoyed. It's difficult to find controversy within, say, a portrait of a child playing on the lakeshore. This is the reflection of myself that I want to see in my children, the sun and the earth and the implication of a good day. But that portrait tells just one story, just one side of the coin. To make it representative of a people is an injustice to the work that society has done, the actions and sacrifices and the times when they have stood up when it was easier to sit down, spoken when it was easier to remain silent. It is in this way that maintaining the light inside all of us, hope is an act of defiance. And there is no better reason for defiance than injustice. A few months ago, I was installing an exhibition called Hateful Things in the Dupree Gallery. Hopefully many of you were able to see it. Many of the images were so violent and so offensive that I at times had to walk away. I had to take a break from facing them. I've been to many places and seen a lot of art, and still, these images were almost too difficult to bear. So difficult that I even considered the value of showing them at all. The French philosopher Simone Weil said, "When suffering, no matter what degree of pain, when almost the entire soul is inwardly crying, 'Make it stop, I can bear no more,' a part of the soul, even though it be an infinitesimally small part, should say, 'I consent that this should continue through the whole of time if the divine wisdom so ordains.'" We cannot overlook people of hope. As individuals and as a society, the divine wisdom that leads us through time. And likewise, we cannot then stop knowing the stories that make up our collective experience, no matter how difficult they may be to face. And if we hold within ourselves as Christians the light of hope, then we must act to change the narrative. Each of us has the intelligence and the ability to change the narrative, to see where injustice is reflected back upon our people and to say, "I choose hope. I choose faith. I choose to act." Look at art. See the story of your people and stand up.
Again, scripture comes from Matthew 4 and 17. It says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Me and Dr. Krause started our relationship through a difficult conversation. It was actually that same Jim Crow exhibit that she talked about that we became friends. And I believe that it is when we are faced with difficult decisions and difficult times, that is when we must join together with our brothers and sisters. You see, the devil is very deceptive. And in times of trouble and in times of difficulties, he wants us to fight and he wants us to bicker. But in Galatians 5:15, Paul says, "Be careful when you're fighting, because if we bite and devour one another, it doesn't matter who was right or wrong, because we're both going to die." So brothers and sisters, I caution us, this division will kill us. It is going to kill our community, our spirit, and our love for one another. We need to be, as Hope College, a community after God's own heart. So how do we change this narrative? It is through repentance and reconciliation. There are numerous scriptures in the Bible where God calls us to reconcile with one another. In today's time, with so much happening in the world, We can become distracted by the noise of the world, but it is important that we do not become situational Christians, and we do not act on circumstances alone, but we act on the word of God. We cannot live based on anything else but his word. And when we decide to do that, that's when we become contagious Christians. That's when we can affect change wherever we go. In order to be this contagious Christian, we are called to love others as Christ has first loved us. So why do we hate our brothers and sisters? Why do we, when in the beginning, Genesis, the Lord says we are all made in his image? Today, difficult times seem to be coming more and more frequently. And that is why I feel that sometimes it seems like we're going through the same tests over and over again, the same difficult times over and over again. And maybe we're going through these same tests because the Lord is saying we haven't passed it yet. Maybe he's waiting for you to step up and to shine his light in these difficult times. So how do we pass this test? You have to look deep within yourselves. In order to become what God wants us to be, we have to give up what we think we should be and accept what he has called us to be. We have to get out of ourselves and into God. In times, you know, we like to say that time will make things better, but it won't. It's the process that will. We have to be continuous in action as Christians. And in order to do this, it is important that we become a family. In the book of Malachi, it says, "Have we not one Father? Have we not one God made us of one blood? So why do we act as if we're so different? Why do we fear one another?" Being a family in Christ is far more important than our social classes, than our race, and our politics. It is time for us to get out of our spiritual comfort zone, and it is time for us to step up. Because we have to realize, do we have the mindset of our friends, or do we have the mind of Christ? Are the things that hurt God, do they also hurt our heart? Hope College, God has expectations for our lives. So we have to stop playing it safe, and we have to start being committed to our faith. We cannot let culture dictate what we think, because it is God who has made us. So brothers and sisters, I ask you, please, do not be spectators. Do not just sit and watch and talk when difficult times are here, but be a people called by God to action. So ask yourselves this: can God count on you in times of trouble and when others are being hurt and ridiculed? You see, God is always speaking, but the question is, who is listening? Who is going to step up? You know, we like to read about and talk about the Good Samaritan. But it's not just enough to read and talk about it. We have to start living the Good Samaritan life in our own hearts. So I ask you, I plead with you, please step up your game and become a contagious Christian on campus. Do this through your actions. And this can be done when we start acting as a family. Part of being a family is being connected. And in my church back home, what we do is we stand up and we embrace each other with a hug. And that means you have to first open yourself up to other people so that you can let them into your life. So if you guys don't mind, to end service, I would like all of us to stand up and greet our neighbor with a hug.